Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Last week, former frontman of the Smiths, Morrissey, he was parodied in a new episode of The Simpsons in a programme, Lisa was there. She becomes obsessed with a fictional band from the 80s called The Snuffs. She befriends its vegan frontman, Quillaby, who is voiced by Benedict Cumberbatch. Now, this isn't the first time that a rock star has paid a visit to Springfield, so Alan Corr from the RTÉ Entertainment website is on the line now to discuss other musicians who have been parodied on screen over the years. Alan, how are you? Are you all right?
I'm good, Dave. How are you?
I'm very good indeed. Wow, good sound on this one too. Good sound with Cody Keenan earlier. We're having a good Saturday so far. So first
Excellent.
Of all, what happens in this episode of The Simpsons, Alan? And why is Morrissey not happy with his portrayal? Surprise, surprise.
Well, indeed. Well, can I just start by saying, Dave, that of course Morrissey doesn't like The Simpsons. They're all yellow. Well, Moz got monstered in the most recent episode of the show. It was entitled Panic on the Streets of Springfield, and it aired in the US last Sunday, and he was satirised as Quillaby, who was the lead singer of the band you just mentioned there, The Snuffs. Now, Quillaby is an imaginary friend of Lisa Simpson. Yes, Lisa gets yet another imaginary friend, and he's got a quiff, a strict vegan diet, and a very dim view of foreigners. So the character was based by Benedict Cumberbatch, and he sings a series of songs which are written by Brett McKenzie, the bloke from The Flight of the Conchords, songs such as Everyone is Hard Except Me and Possibly You, which sounds wonderful. So anyway, Lisa and this imaginary friend go along to a concert by The Snuffs featuring an older, overweight version of the Quillaby character. And now he's now a meat eater because he says vegetarianism was invented by foreigners, of whom there are far too many on this planet. So it goes on like this, and Morrissey's manager released a very strongly worded statement shortly afterwards accusing The Simpsons of hateful tactics in the way they've kind of, portrayed Morrissey or satirised Morrissey in this way, to which I say, hey Morrissey, don't have a cow, man. But, you know, in any case, it's caused quite a furore over the past couple of days, past couple of weeks. Now, Tim Long, who wrote the episode, he has said that the character is actually based on Robert Smith and Jim and Joy Division's Ian Curtis. But I'm not buying that for a second.
Here, I'll give you a blast. Here's Morrissey talking on The Simpsons.
Can't you see this show is just a cash grab? I'm only here because I lost my fortune suing people for saying things about me that were completely true. Is this what I turned into? I'm greedy, I'm hateful, and my face looks like a syphilitic moon.
Do you think it's accurate, considering Morrissey's recent history?
Well, in his statement, some people have pointed out kind of uncharitably, I think, that Moz seems more offended by the fact that he's portrayed as an overweight meat eater than anything else. Now, talking about Morrissey, it's a very thorny inside subject, Dave. I mean, he's previously expressed support for the far-right political party for Britain, which is kind of led by Dublin-born Amory Waters. And, you know, he was once asked in an interview about 3 years ago, you know, could that party be considered racist? And Morrissey answered, well, everyone ultimately prefers their own race. So, you know, for here's my theory on Moz's fall from grace. We all know he's always been a provocateur. He likes to provoke, cause a bit of outrage. But I think, you know, he's running out of kind of ways to kind of offend people now. Yeah. And he's flirted with right-wing tendencies before with songs like Bengalian Platforms and Asian Rush and the National Front Disco as far away as like 30 years ago. So I think what it might have began as kind of edgy irony and social commentary, or indeed his love of a bit of boot boy rough, he's kind of floundered into the dark waters of actually espousing those views himself. Mm. So I think the way the culture wars have gone, particularly over the past 5 years, with the rise of Brexit and Trump and things like that, you have to choose a side. And Morrissey has betrayed everything he used to stand for, by choosing the wrong side. And like, who are more stigmatized and bullied than refugees and minorities in modern Britain and elsewhere? So I think having a pop of a Thatcher in the royal family in the 80s was the thing to do. But his targets now are completely wrong.
Okay, well, here he is singing on The Simpsons.
I step out my door and I take a deep breath, turn back inside and pray for my death, 'cause everyone is horrid except me and possibly you. Oh, everyone is horrid, and my dear, I fear you are too. Oh.
So then, Alan Corr, what about other musicians who've been parodied in The Simpsons? Surely some of them are in on the gag, unlike Morrissey?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, The Simpsons is the mother lode for rock star parodies. But, you know, you could say there, you know, there's a lot of rock stars out there, you know, who are self-parodies, and they're beyond parodies, so they're parody-proof. So it's worth drawing a distinction between rock and pop stars who are willing to be sent up and those who might resent it. Like, so in other words, the people who appear in The Simpsons are willing to have a go at themselves and kind of get in on the joke. So everyone's appeared on the show. I think one of the earliest pop stars to ever appear on The Simpsons was Sting, who was described as everyone's one-word celebrity. And he appeared in an episode where Bart gets trapped in a well, which was actually a satire on the great Kirk Douglas movie Ace in the Hole, oh, yeah, which is about an unethical reporter. Imagine that. Great movie, that, actually. Sting is drafted anyway to lead a charity music concert to raise awareness of Bart's plight. And since then, you know, pretty much everybody who's in the music industry has been on the show. Paul McCartney was on, the Red Hot Chili Peppers were on, R.E.M. were on. But I think one of my favourite episodes was the U2 episode. Do you remember that one?
I don't, actually, vaguely, yeah.
Ah, well, U2, who were a band who were, you know, always cast as rather humorless and didactic back in the 1980s. But the 1990s, they'd finally got a sense of humour. And in an episode in 1998, they appeared and they played a concert in Springfield and kind of they raised political awareness.
Oh, does Homer climb in a Jack's window or something? Or he gets in without a ticket? Oh, yeah.
That's it. And the way Homer actually gets into Springfield Bowl, I think, is one of the best scenes in the whole episode. He manages to kind of get backstage. Paul McGuinness is standing there at the security door and Homer just goes, "I'm the potato man." So he lets him in because he's the potato man.
Hey. I think it's a fantastic scene. I'll give you a blast. Here's U2 on The Simpsons.
The bloody hell.
Quiet, you. I know you youngsters want to see these rockin' rockers, but I also know you care about the race for sanitation commissioner.
Hold on, people. The man's talking about waste management. That affects the whole damn planet.
Oh, here we go. Why do you say we slip out to Mo's for a pint?
Okay, right. Now, hold on a second. Like, that is Bono and that is The Edge. Okay, the other one earlier on, Morrissey, was not Morrissey. So, like, I mean, if you're not in on the joke, you're not in on the joke. I mean, I don't know. Do you remember Extras? Like, by the time, they call him, Ricky Gervais, and he, like, everybody wants to be on and make a fool of themselves. Mm. Like, and make him really, like, go against type and really come out as being awful and being, you know, like, peel me a grape, I'm a star kind of person. But also, like, have you ever seen Call My Agent? By the second series, every single French actor and an American actor wants to be in
it. Is queuing up to take part.
In order to be made a fool of and to do a role to really make them look really bad. So is there a little bit of that going on with The Simpsons sometimes?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just back to Morrissey there as Quillaby. He was invited on The Simpsons back in 2002 in an episode called The Regina Monologues.
Oh, nice.
But he turned it down. Tony Blair, the then Prime Minister, and J.K. Rowling did take part. So, yes, there is a bit of that kind of, call it some kind of like comedic virtue signalling, that I am willing to send myself up on these shows. Yeah. What a great sport I am.
Indeed,
you know?
Absolutely. But, you mentioned Red Hot Chili Peppers. What did they do?
Well, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, did what the Red Hot Chili Peppers do. They jumped around half naked and they did a version of Give It Away. Not the most memorable band in the world and not the most memorable performance. I mean, my favourite all-time music-based episode of The Simpsons is Homer Palooza in 1996, where Homer takes it upon himself to bring, you know, Bart and Lisa along to Hullapalooza, which is Springfield's answer to Lollapalooza, which was the 90s alternative tour back in the day. And it's got a great line for Marge. Marge sees the London Philharmonic Orchestra playing Insane in the Membrane with Cypress Hill, and she goes, "Now this I like." And that just kills me every time. It's a great episode.
Okay, I have one here, Paul McCartney and Apu. What did he do?
Oh, brilliant. Well, Paul and his then wife Linda, they actually did a bit of a protest on the roof of the Quickie Mart in Springfield, preaching about the virtues of vegetarianism and giving Linda's veggie food brand a not too subtle nod. Now, Paul didn't actually perform in that particular episode, Dave, which is disappointing, but Apu, who runs the Quickie Mart, obviously, he did a tabla version of a Beatles song, which song I don't know, but that was another great version. I mean, they've also had Ringo Starr on The Simpsons. They've also had the Rolling Stones on. So there's a bit of a lovey thing going on there, I think, you know?
Okay, well, here, I'll give you a blast of one of those. Here's Paul McCartney.
Lisa, before you go, would you like to hear a song?
Wow, that'd be great.
Okay, take it, Apu.
I'm Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Man. I hope I will enjoy my show.
Fair to say that that character has also hit the news, hasn't he?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Frank Zara, the actor who played, voiced Apu on The Simpsons for many, many years, actually apologised for voicing Apu on The Simpsons for many, many years a couple of weeks ago because of the outcry that you had a non-Indian character playing an Indian character on the show. Morrissey also had a swipe at that in his statement about his episode. So, yeah, The Simpsons seems to be kind of becoming a bit of a lightning rod during the culture wars.
Well, look, you mentioned them earlier, so I'm going to play this now. This is the Red Hot Chili Peppers performing a Krusty's comeback special, and they, as you say, a half-naked version of Give It Away with some altered lyrics after a suggestion from Krusty.
Now, boys, the network has a problem with some of your lyrics. Would you mind changing them for the show?
Forget you, clown.
Hey, our lyrics are like our children, man. No way.
Well, okay. But hear what you say. What I got, you gotta get and put it in you. How about just, what I'd like is I'd like to hug and kiss you.
Wow. That's much better.
Everyone can enjoy that.
Okay, Red Hot Chili Peppers, how about Cypress Hill?
Hello, bands. Who is playing with the London Symphony Orchestra? Come on, people. Somebody order the London Symphony Orchestra. Cypress Hill, I'm looking in your direction.
Hey, man, did we order an orchestra? What's up with this orchestra? Where'd the orchestra come from?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, we think we did. Do you know Insane in the Brain?
We mostly know classical, but we could give it a shot.
Okay, so that's from Homer Palooza, which would be your favourite of the whole lot. R.E.M., what did they do?
R.E.M. made an appearance. They were a garage band, would you believe, playing in Moe's Garage. And they came on in an episode about environmentalism, what else, and teaching the R.E.M. way. That was kind of late enough in R.E.M.'s career. I think it was about 2004 or thereabouts. Yeah. And it wasn't quite the event of U2 turning up, you know. I think that maybe R.E.M. should have featured in a 90s episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah, right, indeed. When you think of it, you know, the whole thing, Spinal Tap and mockumentaries and all the rest, they did a Spinal Tap on some level, didn't they?
In terms of The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose they did. They have managed to send up absolutely everybody, but as you say, they're willing partitioners in that. I mean, other side of the whole thing.
Well, your long history of music, Alan, how many times have you seen Spinal Tap?
Loads. I'd say at least once a year. It's up there with Whitnail. You have to watch Whitnail at least once a year and Spinal Tap once a year. But, I mean, if you look at South Park, which is the flip side of The Simpsons, they've had a hell of a lot of music parodies on. And the only willing people so far I can suss out is Radiohead and, what's his name, Robert Smith from The Cure, have taken part. But they've sent up R. Kelly, Kanye West, Phil Collins, and a very memorable episode with a new neighbour called Mr. Jefferson, who's clearly Michael Jackson. That was caused quite an outrage back in the day. So the South Park is really the opposite of The Simpsons in that respect.
OK, well, I'll give you the Brian Pern, the pretentious prog rocker bit.
Can you just tell us about some of the other people we've worked with and the pioneering sounds?
Well, I pioneered a lot of stuff, you know, piano loops, kick snares, all that stuff, and they all nicked off me. You know, the Roses, the Mondays, the Order, the Carpets, the Balustrade, Horrible Dolphins, but, you know, that's all right. That was the factory scene then. Nick everything.
Is that Simon? Is that the Fast Show people, yeah?
It is. It's Simon Day from The Fast Show, yeah. And it's kind of like a variation on Spinal Tap. Like, Brian Pern is this deeply pretentious prog rocker who may or may not be based on Fish or Marillion. And he's got a band called Touch. And I think that's loosely based on Peter Gabriel, Genesis era Peter Gabriel, you know.
Right, indeed. Okay, so any final rock star parodies which are particularly good?
Well, I mean, you really can't do an item like this without mentioning the Prince of the Rockstar parody, which is Weird Al Yankovic. And basically, he rewrites famous songs as puntastic skits. So Michael Jackson's Beat It becomes Eat It. Iggy Azalea's Fancy becomes Handy. And most memorably, Robert Palmer's Addicted to Love became Addicted to Spuds. I thought that was very, daft and harmless fun. I don't know if you remember the Kenny Everett TV show back in the 80s and the 70s and 80s. He did some extremely good parodies of likes of Rod Stewart and the Bee Gees.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Do You Think I'm Sexy? And his bum kept getting bigger. That's right.
Well, his bum started getting bigger and bigger. He floats off out of the studio at the end. Fantastic. I mean, you know, Adam Buxton is also particularly great. He's the English comedian and podcaster, and he does a series of kind of Bowie cartoon sketches that are just very, very, very funny. And you just know that Bowie, when he was with us, Bowie, who was a lifetime fan of Viz magazine and The Fast Show, probably loved these Adam Buxton Bowie sketches.
God, who can just what do you call it? Extras earlier on. Do you remember Bowie went down to that, making a main guy? Okay, hold on.
Chubby little fat man.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the Ruttles. Right, I'm going to give you a little bit of that first. Okay, the Beatles. That's in the Ruttles. John and Yoko.
What are you doing this for?
We're doing this for peace and basically to show that the world is, you know, going astray and it's thinking.
What are you doing?
We are getting wet in a shower because basically we talked it over, Chastity and myself, and we came to the conclusion that civilization was nothing more than an effective sewage system. And so by the use of plumbing, we hope to demonstrate this to the world.
Do you know, it's really weird to think, like, when you think in Amsterdam or whatever, it's Montreal as well, and the bed and all that. Mm. Like, that was nearly the kind of nonsense John was spouting.
Yeah.
Like, it's closer to the bone than some people might think. So, John and Yoko, the Ruttles. Anything else? You mentioned Adam Buxton's Bowie sketches. They're really good, are they?
Oh, look, they're absolutely fantastic. You can get them on YouTube. I'm not sure if Adam is still making them, but he does numerous kind of personalities, but the Bowie ones are the best because his accent is so uncanny. It's spot on. And you can just tell the Bowie probably loved them.
And they did this thing, didn't they? Adam and Joe show, which I've never seen. Is it any good?
You know something? It was on Channel 4 between 1996 and 2001, and I was probably out all the time, so I never saw it either.
Oh,
but the Ruttles, along with Spinal Tap, is easily the gold standard when it comes to rock parodies. It's just so laugh-out-loud funny. Even reading about it makes me laugh.
It is. And just finally then, didn't he? He had something to do with Radiohead in their last album, didn't he? I think.
Oh, he did, yes. Yeah. This is... Adam Buxton.
Yeah, Adam Buxton.
He had a little vignette, as they say, on A Moon-Shaped Pool, which is Radio's last studio album, All Right, yeah, back in 2016, I think.
All right, well, listen, The Simpsons anyway. Oh, yeah, by the way, are you one of these who say The Simpsons? Nah, forget it, they should have stopped in the 90s.
I kind of am, Dave. I mean, once Conan O'Brien and Brad Bird left the show in 1997, I think it fell off a cliff. I'm glad it's still on, I still enjoy it, but it's just not as... edgy, is that the right word, as it used to be? It's not as funny as it used to be.
All right, well, look, I'm going to give you a bit of Adam Buxton and David Bowie with Tony Visconti. So Alan Corr of the RT Entertainment website, thanks a million, Alan, for being with us on the programme today. Take it easy, right?
Thanks, Dave.
I think I might just step inside the vocal booth and freeform some impressionistic word decorations.
Get ready to capture the magic, Tony.
Yes, I will, David. I'm co-producing this album, so it's not a problem. Would you like me to put this through the Eventide harmonizer? It fiddles with the fabric of time.
It's okay, Tony. Just a bit of reverb would be splendid. Thanks.
Bit of reverb from co-producer Tony Visconti, doing more than people think on this record. How's that for you, David?
I'm in a scary cave with bats.
That's lovely.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.